Again, bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say that so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. The title is from the text that was read to us. And we are to exhort one another. Then it's that added phrase, and so much the more. I remember my dad saying to me, Brian, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you again. Or the coach or the teacher, but I told you once, now I'm going to tell you twice. Something we just need to hear over and over again. By definition, the word exhort, I didn't put this in your notes, but sometimes we can understand a word if we say what it does not mean. When we have the admonition to exhort each other, it doesn't mean to shame. We're going to exhort one another. Don't point the finger and go shame, shame, shame. Or nag, no. Doesn't mean to yell. Even though I may talk loud when I'm exhorting, but it's not, don't want to yell at you. Don't want to punish when we exhort. It's not meant to put you in your place. Boy, would I like to do that. I'd be like, well, you did something wrong. Here's my chance to straighten you out. No, I have to exhort. I'm supposed to restore others with a spirit of meekness, your gentleness. But the whole purpose is restoration, to bring back into fellowship. That's the purpose. So when we exhort, we are to entreat. I put all these words in your notes. To beseech. We admonish or warn. There's danger ahead. Or we urge one to pursue a particular course of action. It means to advise, to appeal, encourage, comfort, aid, persuade. I want to exhort you, persuade you to a particular course of action. And the obligation to exhort is found numerous times in the Bible, and it's not just laid upon me. I don't see in the text my name. It doesn't say, Brian, you're the only one that's supposed to exhort. Doesn't say that. And here are the verses. I have them written out on in my page. I retyped them all, but I just gave you the reference in yours. But here they are. In Acts 2, verse 40, it says, with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Of course, then the conclusion was, in verse 41, those that gladly received his word were baptized. In verse 47, there were added to the church daily those who were being saved. So they received the exhortation, or many did. Acts 27, verse 22. Paul said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. There will not be any loss of any man's life among you. Yeah. I exhort you, be of good cheer. 2 Corinthians 9. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. Necessary. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren. That was one of our definitions of exhort. And he puts both the words in the text. I beseech you and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that you would abound more and more. 2 Thessalonians 3. And now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they work with quietness. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort. Supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Exhort that. 1 Timothy 6. Paul told Timothy, these things teach and exhort. Yeah, Timothy, you do it. But teach them to do it too. 2 Timothy chapter 4. preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Jude verse 3. Give diligence. He says, I'm writing this unto you of the common salvation. It's needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered. Exhort that. Hebrews 13. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Or the word means allow the word of exhortation. Let it happen, the exhortation. Acts 11, verse 23, referred to Barnabas. Said, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, they exhorted them to continue in the faith. 1 Peter 5, verse 12, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. At least 17 verses to encourage us to exhort, or I use exhortation, or we exhorted. Must be some significance to that. Some importance just because of the number of times that the Bible mentions that we are to exhort one another. And in our text, it says so much the more. So we are exhorted to exhort. In case you missed it. Testify and exhort. Was necessary to exhort. I beseech you and exhort you. We command and exhort. I exhort, first of all, prayers be made for all men. These things teach and exhort. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So we exhort, and so much the more long suffering. We have to suffer long in our exhortation. Earnestly exhort. Give attendance to exhortation. Let it happen, exhortation, or suffer the word of exhortation. Exhorted them all with purpose. Exhorted and comforted and charged. Exhorted them to continue in the faith. Exhorted that this is the true grace of God. Wow. That's a lot of exhortation, isn't it? I could almost stop right there and hope you got the lesson. Exhortation. Exhort, exhort, exhort. I want to give you three verses for our lesson this morning. Three places. Obviously, there's more because I just read you 17. But here's three. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, Paul said, wherefore comfort, and in the American Standard Translation, it says exhort one another. That was one of our definitions. If you exhort, you provide comfort. Comfort or exhort one another and edify or build up one another, even as also you do. So it's that, you know, you're exhorting, you're comforting. Well, let's do it so much the more. Whatever you said, say it again. That's the lesson this morning. The exhortation is that that Christians are to do, and we're to practice, and we're to say, and we're to engage in things that contribute constructively to the building up of our fellowship. The exhortation in this particular verse says, lift each other up, fortify, make us sturdy in what we say, strengthen us. Exhortation to do that. The mandate is to do what will help the spiritual life and the growth of fellow Christians. That's that verse, that first one. So we do that, and then we do it some more. We do it again. Number two is in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. says, beware. Another translation says, take heed. Boy, there's some exhortation right in the opening words. Beware and take heed. Oh, so sit up. Don't pay attention. Wake up. Take it to heart. Just in those words, beware. Take heed. Brethren, that's all of us. Here's the exhortation. Lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Uh-oh. That's not a compliment. He says, exhort, beware, take heed. If you have an evil heart, that takes you away from God. So his next phrase is, but exhort one another daily while it's called today. Lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it's said, and he says the word today again, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Sometimes God's people to hear things over and over again, and sometimes, just like the reference is here, in Old Testament, God's people didn't always sit up and pay attention. So now the exhortation now is today. While it's today, exhort one another. Exhort. Oh. We don't want evil hearts. I want a good heart. And Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. So the exhortation is, beware or take heed about an evil heart that takes you away from God. Because the heart determines the issues and your conduct and your attitude. So he says, take heed, beware, shout out an exhortation, encourage, warn, all these definitions of exhort. Exhort. Wow. Today. As long as there's a today, we keep exhorting. Every day. All those definitions, all those words. Number three. In Hebrews chapter 10. Read to us. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I have to exhort you to do that. Oh, I know. If I ask you, how many of you have faith? Every hand would go up. Count me in. Is your faith without wavering? Ooh, well, I'll hide my hand up now. Yeah, my faith is not wavering. That's the exhortation. Let us, right, here's the word, now shout it out, encourage, build up, teach. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For, why would I want to do that? He's faithful that promised. And let's consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let's encourage, exhort in that area. And then he gives an illustration. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. See what the manner of some is over there? He says, I'm exhorting you, don't do that. See how they're behaving over there? They're forsaking the assembly. They're wavering. They're not always there. You can't depend on them. They're not reliable. I don't know if they're going to be here or not. He says, don't do that. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. The next phrase is exhorting one another. And then the title of our lesson, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Wow. Now, if I exhorted you a whole lot and just jumped up and down and waved my arms and said, I want to exhort you to pray more. You say, oh yeah, Brian, preach it. Just keep going. Keep exhorting us to pray more. Yeah, all right. Preach it, brother. I said, might even about giving. We need to give what we can. Yeah, Brian, that's good. Oh, I like that. How about attendance? Slow down, Brian. Slow down. How about if I encourage you to attend Bible class? I exhort you to attend Bible class. Come 1 hour earlier. Well, Brian, to the praying and the getting. Don't exhort me to come 1 hour earlier on Lord's Day morning. I'm just going to let that soak in for a moment. We're to hold fast the remedy of all this. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And that profession is based upon God who's faithful. Can you depend on God? Is God reliable? Yeah. God always there? Yeah. Whatever word you'd like to use for that. So we're to provoke one another, not just provoke each other, but provoke each other to love. In other words, we're to stimulate, stir up. We're to prod. That's what I just did. We're to almost, in other words, to goad you, to excite you into action, to exhort to what you're already doing and what you're not doing. To encourage you to do those things you're not doing that are right. Love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly, as the manner of some is. Wow. If you forsake, it means you're going to abandon or renounce. You're going to depart. You're going to forsake the assembly. There's a deliberate action in that. There's a habit. I'm going to forsake the assembly. You could miss the assembly. We do get that all the time. Work. I might miss an assembly because of illness or another hardship. But I don't want to forsake. Just have a la-di-da attitude toward assembly. I don't want to do that. I don't want to waver in my decision to assemble. I want to exhort you in all those definitions in that in the top of your notes. All those words, I want to urge, encourage, earnestly plead for assembly. You know, when you miss an assembly, don't think of it as, I didn't attend today. You missed an opportunity to worship with the congregation. You say, oh, I worship at home. You missed an opportunity to worship with the congregation. Oh, I can worship in the hills. You missed an opportunity to worship with the congregation. You missed an assembly. You didn't just miss. You missed assembly. You missed everything that happened here. You missed announcements. You missed an opportunity to encourage someone else. You missed an opportunity for someone to encourage you. You missed when you're not here. You missed an opportunity to strengthen others. You missed an opportunity to strengthen yourself. You missed an opportunity for others to be involved in with you. You missed an opportunity to renew your friendship or to strengthen friendship. When you missed a lot. The value of assembly. So Hebrew writer says, don't make it a habit. Don't just willfully and deliberately be gone. There's value in assembly. And as Dennis said before he made his prayer, you know, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. I hope you're glad when Sunday morning is here. Because, I get an opportunity to attend. Here's an opportunity to be with brethren. Yes. And it's 1 hour a week. I forgot the math. I was going to put down the number of hours in a week. 24 times 7, whatever.
28. 4 times 7 is 28.
168?
300.
300?
Is it 1 hour a week?
Well, you got the idea. It's a lot of hours, aren't you?
168.
368?
168.
168, 24 times 7?
Oh, okay, that's different.
1?
68.
You come from 1 hour?
Gives you 167 minutes.
1 out of 168. If you miss that one assembly, now double that.
14.
300 something. Mm-hmm. That'd be 32 something. It's 16 to 16, 32. Mm-hmm. So now there's 300 some hours that you missed in assembly. If you miss 3 weeks in a row, multiply 168 times 3. From here, how many hours has it been since you've been in assembly?
It'd be a 08.
Wow. The lesson today is on exhortation. And so much the more. Not just exhort. It's and so much the more. I'm on so much the more right now. So much the more. I have 4 or 5 pages worth. I want you to get the lesson. Exhort. So, Sunday, what did you preach on this morning? Mm-hmm. I think I can remember. Mm-hmm. You preached on exhort. What's the more? The lesson closes with the invitation. It's the invitation that Peter gave in Acts chapter 2. Where he sermon concerning the crucified Christ. And in verse 36, Peter with the 11th says to his audience, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." The next verse says, "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart." We murdered the Messiah? We crucified the Christ? The next question is, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In that next verse, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation." Those that gladly received his word were baptized in verse 41. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. In verse 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The invitation, the exhortation this morning is repent and be baptized. If you haven't done so already, every one of you, by the authority of heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the word of exhortation. The invitation. Let's stand together. We'll sing the song and then we'll pray that gospel message already. You have this opportunity. We give you time to think about your decision, your resolution. And so while we're singing this song, just simply let your request be known at the close of the song.